And joining us on the phone right now from his home down in Minneapolis is Professor Anatoly Lieberman. He is a professor in the German, Scandinavian, and Dutch departments at the University of Minnesota, and has done extensive work on a subject that we're going to be talking about, and that is the etymology of the meanings of some words that have either been lost or in dispute. Professor Lieberman, thank you so much for joining us this evening on the Roadhouse.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you.
Now, the first thing I'd like to ask you, for those folks that may not be too sure about the word etymology, could you explain what etymology of a word is?
Etymology means word origin, and it doesn't mean anything else. So if you want to know the etymology of the word table, you're asking about what the origin of that word is.
Now, you... My understanding is that you have been working on a dictionary of words in English whose origins are known very badly or not at all, meaning that there may be no consensus on what the origin of the word is. What prompted you to start this dictionary in the first place?
It's almost a joke, but so many things happen by chance, and that's how it happened to me. Many years ago, more than 20 years ago, I was reading a book and found a German word which seemed to me related to the English word heifer. And I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. What if I look up the word heifer in an etymological dictionary? There are several dictionaries of this type. Much to my surprise, I found that the origin of heifer is unknown. So there is a hypothesis, there are several conjectures. Then I looked it up in another dictionary, and it gave an entirely different origin, and a third gave no origin whatsoever. I was rather irritated and decided to find out the origin of the word heifer for myself. It took me about half a year to do it, and I wrote an article on the origin of the word heifer. Half of it is probably correct. Half is probably wrong. But that I know now, more than 20 years later. At that time, I was glad to find out what I did find out. And then I asked myself a fateful question. If it has taken me half a year to discover the literature on the word heifer and its origin, and if I want to find out where another word has come from, will I need another 6 months? And if it goes on like that, how many words will I be able to discover from an etymological point of view? So I decided to write a dictionary in which people like me would be able to find the origin of words at one, rather than poking around and feeling disappointed.
Why is it important, the origin of words? Now, you're a linguist, you're a scholar, and so I understand why it's important to you. Should it be important to the rest of us, too?
Well, that's a very difficult question, and a question to which I can answer only in a roundabout way. The history of words is as important as any other type of history. I could return a question and say, how important is it to know the history of ancient Egypt or Greece or Rome? And I'm not sure that you will be able to say anything definite. Well, yes, it was so many centuries ago. Can we live without it? Don't we have other troubles? We certainly do. But if history is an interesting thing, and if you learn something from history, that is one justification for the project. Another justification is that there is nothing in our life that hasn't left a trace in language. So by learning the history of words, we learn the history of mentality, customs, and all everything that is human.
Sure.
The history of words is also the history of our species.
Interesting.
And perhaps I can add, for good measure, a third answer or a third justification. People are born with a tremendous curiosity for their origins. It doesn't matter that it all happened so long ago, but we want to find out how language originated, art, literature, songs, and so on. Words belong here, too. That is why there is an avid public interest in word origin.
Mm-hmm.
So there is both a popular justification And it's scholarly justification for doing something that I have been doing for so long.
We are visiting with Professor Anatoly Lieberman with the University of Minnesota about the dictionary that he is working on the origins of a number of different words. Professor Lieberman, how many different words? Now, this is a project that at least the germ of it, started 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. How many words do you figure you're going to be exploring the origins of? Do you know?
I think the number will vacillate between 700 and perhaps 1,000, because I'm interested only in heifers, quote unquote. That is words whose origin is either very little known or not known, and about which dictionaries say diplomatically of disputable origin, of unknown origin, of uncertain origin, of questionable origin. There is a whole array of such words which pretend that the dictionary maker knows more than he or she really does.
Now, how do you know there's between 700 and 1,000 of those words?
Well, because I've done my homework.
Oh, okay.
In such cases, I read an etymological dictionary, the best there is, and I picked out all the words about which the dictionary uses one of those standard phrases. And then now, when there are such very good tools for searching things, because we have such machines, I looked through several other dictionaries, like the Heritage Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, and even the great and incomparable Oxford English Dictionary, known as the OED, and again wrote out all the words about which something like it has been said. Of those words, about two-thirds are either obsolete or so useless or so hopeless that probably nothing can be said at all. So I decided to concentrate only on such words as are known to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me, and I read that a great many of these words are, I guess we'd call them slang. In fact, I was trying to find the words themselves that I was thinking about, but skedaddle and mooch and nudge and a variety of those. But I was also interested that highly disputed words are such as boy and girl.
You are quite right.
Interesting.
The information that we have on the origin of words has nothing to do with how common a word is, how well it is known. Some words are rare. Their origin is unknown, and the words themselves are almost unknown. But there are so many other words which are known very well indeed. And for some strange reason, their origin is known very badly. This is true of our slang, for example. New slang words appear every day.
Sure.
And the origin of most of them is unknown. I remember how surprised I was to find out that no one knows for sure where the origin of the word, not only for sure, but in general, no one knows where the word nerd appeared.
Nerd?
Yes, nerd. Yes, N-E-R-D. And I joked once that if the word were very ancient and had Sanskrit roots or something really respectable, something that etymologists like so much, I would have said that N is a negative prefix, E-R is the root of the word earth, and D is a suffix, so nerd means not of this earth, which would be quite a tolerable definition of nerd.
Yes, it would.
But alas, it's not a Sanskrit word and not an ancient Greek word, so that we have to find something which is much closer to home. And here is one word. Now, boy and girl were probably both slang words, but they were slang words in the 13th century. And in general, words meaning a child are very often slang words, pet words, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So their origin is not unknown, but it is uncertain. And there are several hundred such words. Some of them are very interesting, others are not. For example, every Wednesday my blog appears on the website of Oxford University Press. And the latest blogs I have written were about the verb to larrup, that is to flog, to beat, and so on, and some other words of this type. And it turned out that the origins are known, but that there is a great lot to say about them. So I enjoy discovering such words whose origin is not unknown, but not remembered by most dictionary makers. And these are the words that I constantly answer questions about in talk shows and elsewhere,
sure,
because people are mainly interested in slang.
Now, I have another question about that, but first I want to get to this question, and that is, so you've got a word that is of disputable origin or unknown. How on earth do you know then where to go to start researching that? I mean, what's the first step you do?
There are several first steps. First of all, I discovered while looking at the history of the word heifer that when dictionary makers say a word of unknown origin or origin unknown or so on, that doesn't mean that no one has said anything about it. So the first thing was to find the literature on a word. Sometimes these words have been discussed only in the popular press. For example, the word tramp has been discussed many times, but only in the popular press. That is in newspapers and newspaper columns, in journals that are available to everybody, like the Saturday Review and so on. And no one has collected this literature. And then many of them have been discussed in serious scholarly works. So the first step was to collect the literature. And this is what my team has done. We now have a book, a printed book, by the University of Minnesota Press called The Biography of English Etymology, which is very heavy. I think it's about 10 pounds or so. So you can use it as a doorstop, or you can kill your opponent with it. Choose the way, but you can also use it for the purposes for which it has been written. And now, if I want to know the origin of the word larab, or the word heifer, or any other word, I look it up there, and all the articles have been copied and sent in my office. So that's the first step, or a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And the second step is to find out whether a certain word has any related forms in other languages. Because sometimes the word is practically the same in another language. Take the verb to glide, G-L-I-D-E.
Mm-hmm.
Its origin is hard. It's not known very well. But its German cognate, cognate means a related form. Its German cognate is gleiten, which is practically the same word. And its origin is known better than the origin of the word glide. Only that English scholars do not always know the origin of a German, Swedish, Dutch word, and it's hard to put together all this material. So if I know the origin of gleiten in German, then I already know the origin of glide. So that is how I work, through the literature and cognate.
I see. I want to remind our listeners again, we're visiting with Professor Anatoly Lieberman about his dictionary of words and the origin of words which are in dispute. So it sounds to me, Professor, that a knowledge of a foreign language or foreign languages would be invaluable in this kind of research. Can you also tell me, has the computer, now you started this back over 20 years ago, has the computer enabled you to facilitate your research very much?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right about knowing languages. The bibliography that we have published contains articles and notes in 23 languages. And some of those articles were very hard to find, and most people who study English, for example, cannot read Czech or even Dutch or Swedish or Russian and so on. So the more languages you know, the better. That's point one. Point two, computers are very important, but mainly for storing information. And search machines, which naturally depend on computerizing things, are very important. But the real brain work has to be done by a human being, because etymology is not a very exact science. You don't find the information you need in such terms that you can say, well, I know for sure of what the origin of the word is. After all, the word boy was coined 7 centuries ago. And you can never be quite sure what those people wanted to say and how they said it.
Sure.
So there are conflicting hypotheses. And etymology is a blend of scholarship and inspiration. And that cannot be done by a computer. Though a computer is a very important tool, it's like money. it's a very good servant, but not a very reliable master.
Now, this is an incredibly large project. How large a staff do you have? And I know the answer to this, but how large a staff do you have working on this?
It is an incredibly long project, you are quite right. But I hope that in several years, 5 or 6 years, I will be able to write the dictionary. It also depends on how long my entries will be. Now that the bibliography is known, has been published, I can refer to it, and instead of retelling countless articles, I can say, look them up in the bibliography. So I think it's a doable thing, even though dictionaries and memoirs are especially good to write when you are young.
Now, when I was talking about staff, you have relied in the past, other than your own efforts, if I'm not mistaken, almost entirely on volunteers. Is that correct?
Not entirely. It's half and half. I've had about 100 people working for me, and the shoestring budget, using the idiom, is a great exaggeration. But I have had incredible luck. Not only has the university helped me very much and believed in the project, which most people poo-pooed as something totally undoable and unrealizable. So I had help from practically everybody at the university. But I could hire undergraduate students and even graduate students. This is a sweatshop, naturally. They're paid very little. And they know it, but they love words.
Sure.
And they're very happy to do what they're doing. And then there were about 50 people have worked over 22 years. And about 50 people answered the ad. There was a program at the university called Work with a Professor. People actually paid for working with a professor, and then they very often stayed. And it so happened that several of them stayed for several years, and one, my good friend, Trev Daniels, has stayed forever, has been working for more than 20 years on it. So 50 of them were volunteers, 50 of them were on what I grandiloquently call my payroll. But let me add something and say that two philanthropists have contributed important sums toward the project, and without them the project would have been dead. And it's amazing how they say, you are doing a useful thing, and I think that my money will not be wasted, and it hasn't been wasted.
I'm sure that's the case, and I'm sure that everyone that has worked on it, most especially myself, has found it just fascinating doing it. Several years ago, or a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to visit with a woman who was working on the Dictionary of American Regional.
Oh, the famous
English,
DARE.
Yes. And that was so interesting because, of course, so many words that she was working with, putting in the dictionary, were words that were really unique to certain parts of the country, and words that I thought to myself, how did anybody ever come up with a definition? But I would think that finding the origins of those words would be particularly difficult, because who knows who came up with it and why. It might have been a pet name for somebody and somebody else started using it.
You are quite right. These are the hardest words. I will not include too many regional words, because about most of them I'll have very little to say. But some of them will make their way into the dictionary, depending on whether I can say something sensible about them.
Sure.
Just listing a word and saying origin unknown is something that anyone else can do. So there will be that ploy. If a word is not mentioned, they probably have nothing to say. I know that's not a very good way of treating things, but saying origin unknown is not very interesting either.
Yeah.
The Gray Dictionary you mentioned does have a few suggestions, and it's in general one of the greatest projects in American linguistics.
Mm.
They do say something about the origin of the word they have listed, but only as much as they could find.
Sure. We have been visiting with Professor Anatoly Lieberman, he is a professor at the University of Minnesota in the German, Scandinavian, Dutch departments. He is a reading your bio, he translates poetry from Russian to English. He studies the state of modern languages and dialects. His most popular courses are German folklore and Scandinavian myths, and is working on a dictionary probing into the origins of words who have either bad histories or no history at all. Professor Lieberman, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak to someone who is interested in what I'm doing.